The Ensemble podcast is intended for professional financial advisors. All discussion is limited to publicly available information and should not be interpreted as legal, professional, or financial advice. Ensemble does not hold an AFS license nor provide any financial services. Before making investment decisions, you should obtain financial advice from a qualified financial advisor.
Hi everyone, it's Neil Rogan here from Russell, and this morning I'm joined by Alex Cousley, who is our Senior Portfolio Manager here at Russell and had previously been the Head of Investment Strategy for APAC. Now, Alex, geopolitically, there's been a lot happening over the last 48 hours or so. Do you want to just give us a quick summary on what's been happening and what does it mean for oil prices?
Yeah, absolutely. So Israel and the US have started an attack on Iran. Iran has been retaliating to US bases in the Gulf. So it's quite an event. What it means for oil price, so the challenge right now is the Strait of Hormuz, which 20% of oil globally flows through this strait. And it sits to the south of Iran, and that is effectively closed. US insurers are saying we won't insure any ships that go through there at the moment. And so there's a quite a tail of traffic that's going through. So that has put a bit of upward pressure on oil prices. We're sitting at Brent at about $82, $81 today.
How higher is that from where it was a week ago?
It's a good question. We were sitting closer to 70.
Okay. So it's up.
We finished on Friday at 72. So we're up 10 bucks roughly.
Yeah.
What is really important from an economic perspective is everyone refers to the 70s when you had these oil crises and the impact it has on the economy. The US economy in particular is very different today. It's actually a net exporter of oil. And so these spikes in energy don't have the same impact. And to give some reference, so Paul Arderman, our chief investment strategist, thinks the price at which the economy breaks from higher oil prices is north of 120. So we're a long way from a level that is concerning. A question mark everyone has on their minds and no one has a great answer for is how long does this last?
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of oil sitting, so in Asia, in ships, there's about 100 million barrels sitting on ships right now. The US has a strategic reserve of 400 million barrels. The OECD, other countries have 800 million. So there's a lot sitting around, but it's how quickly can that be accessed and how long does the strait stay shut? We think at the moment that it's probably a shorter lived event. But that's the key watch point.
Yep. And so this has all occurred amidst a backdrop of earnings season as well. Do you want to just touch on, what's happened in earnings season in the US as well?
Yeah, I mean, so the US earnings season was quite strong. So we saw pretty solid revenue growth, quite a bit of earnings beats as well, and analysts revising up their expectations for 2026. We see that similar event in Australia as well. So the beats in earnings, so companies have been beating analyst estimates by a ratio we haven't seen since 2017.
Oh, wow.
The earnings backdrop for corporates has been quite good. The other bit that has been very much at the front of everyone's minds is software. So there's a huge rotation in the US and in Australia around software, and some of the earnings announcements have been punished on worries about displacement by AI or actually too much capital expenditure for some of the big AI names in America.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose for US treasuries, what's happened with US treasuries through all this?
So it's been really interesting with treasuries. So since the start of the year, I think the way to characterize it is we've had pretty resilient economic growth and actually has been re-accelerating. So growth looks good. Inflation is kind of flatlining. We aren't seeing a real move either way on inflation trends in the US. And yields have been coming in quite a bit. So we've seen the government bonds rallying. I think some of that is the excitement around Kevin Warsh as the new Fed chair.
Yeah.
Maybe being a bit more dovish, but we think probably it was a little bit overdone. Since Friday, we've seen yields gap up a bit. So we're about 12 basis points higher. So the usual dynamic of people worrying about geopolitics, what oil prices mean for inflation, and also at the margin with a higher oil price and a resilient economy in the US, it makes it harder for the Fed to cut rates two or three times, which the market had previously expected.
Yeah, okay. And so from an investor point of view, would it be fair to say that diversification is now more important than ever?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, before this event, you'd see non-US equities outperforming. So emerging markets doing quite well. Europe doing quite well. The last couple of days have been a bit of a reversal of that. But I think it just highlights that having a diversified equity book, you know, Australia's been doing a little bit better the last couple of days than the rest of the world, given that energy exposure. The rates piece has been a bit more challenging. So you've seen equities down, rates down. But gold and other alternative diversifiers have been holding up a little bit better. So, yeah, I think it just highlights again the need for diversification. And importantly, we talk about cycle value and sentiment at Russell.
Yeah.
So cycle backdrop looks good. Valuations, they're not cheap for equities, but they're not screamingly expensive. And so we're watching our sentiment indicator. We came into this pretty flat. There's no signs of euphoria. There's no signs of panic. We're seeing like early signs of oversold, but we're not yet at extremes. But importantly, I think the key message is don't panic. And if anything, look to take advantage of dislocations. And that's what we're thinking about here today is where are we seeing signs of panic and where can we start deploying more capital?
Yep. And just finally, so someone like me who's a bit older, I remember, you know, when there's been some of these geopolitical events previously and, you know, you could only fill up if you had an even number plate or an odd number plate on a certain day. And I'm sure there's plenty of clients and advisors who are in my age group who are going to be calling them and asking them, what does all this mean? So if I'm going in to see an advisor, what are the messages that an advisor should give someone like me who's worried about whether we'll be odds and evens on our number plates again?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think the most important thing is the supply chain from Asia to Australia is still very much intact. There's no challenges there. We import most of our petroleum from Malaysia and other parts of Asia. They're still running refineries. There's a lot of spare capacity in terms of those oil that's sitting there. So I don't think it's time to panic about being able to fill up petrol. And the second thing is, to that other point, is the US and the rest of the world have a lot of strategic reserves that can be released if this really escalates. But, you know, this could be ending really quickly or it could last a bit longer. No one really has a crystal ball on that right now. But I think the most important thing is that there is quite an ample runway before this becomes a real constraint on your ability to fill up the car.
Mm-hmm. And any other broader messages about markets or Australian dollar and those things?
Yeah, so the Aussie dollar is very interesting. So if you recall back 6 months, 8 months ago, we thought 60 cents, it was very cheap. We're pretty much close to fair value right now. There's a lot of momentum behind it. So in the short term, it probably can, you know, keep moving higher, especially if this whole conflict dies down. But I think we'll probably see the Aussie kind of moving largely sideways over a 6 month period.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, to sum up, Alex, not to worry about the oil price. There's plenty of oil. Not to worry about, you know, whether we'll be able to fill up our cars or not, or, you know, go away for a long weekend or anything. That should be okay. There might be a bit of increase in the petrol price, but not out of this world, or not rationing as we'd seen. Earnings season's been strong. The Aussie's strong against the US and probably will continue to be strong. And you know, maintain a diversified portfolio over the longer term, given these types of events.
Yes, and it's a really good summary. The last bit just to add on the markets is, historically, if you look at geopolitical events, they're often short-lived and they're generally opportunities to add to equity risk rather than sell. Mm-hmm. And so to that extent, if you're thinking about what to do, I think you're better off looking for opportunities to add to equity risk rather than selling.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you, Alex. As always, super insightful. We could talk about this much, much longer. And I appreciate you taking the time this morning.
Pleasure. Thanks, Neil.